We have any old school, old time Presbyterians here this morning? Okay, a few of you were willing to admit to that. So, I know that you're well versed in your Heidelberg Catechism, right? Even if it was written all the way back in 1562, believe it or not, a lot of it is still relevant today. Now, who remembers the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism? Right, you know, I don't even know this. I have to look it up myself. First question, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer, that I belong body and soul in life and death, not to myself, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now for you confirmands, remember this from confirmation class, the new children's confirmation cards that I used a few times. First question is, who are you? And the answer is, I am a child of God. And the second question, what does it mean to be a child of God? And the answer, that I belong to God, who loves me. Both of these catechism, fancy name for a teaching tool that uses questions and answers to help us learn our faith. They start with the same question. And the answer from each one is a reminder that we belong to God. That's another way of saying that we will not be abandoned, that we can't be orphaned, that our Savior will be there. Now, how many times in your life have you found comfort in remembering that, that you will not be left alone? The passage from John that Nancy just read a few minutes ago goes all the way back to the Last Supper. Yes, I know that we were just through all of that a few short weeks ago during Holy Week, and that we've moved on to Easter and beyond. And yes, this passage is a classic funeral passage. The entire 14th chapter of John is probably most familiar to you from funerals, not from worship. But these weeks after Easter are all about looking at the promises that Jesus made early in his earthly life and then seeing how they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ's passion and resurrection. So back to the Last Supper. Here are the disciples who have been leaning on Jesus for the last 3 years to take care of them and to see them through each new day and each new crisis that came their way. And there was always a new crisis. Jesus knew that in a few short hours, it was all coming to an end. He's talking about his own death in terms that his disciples don't quite understand. Just as we prepare our children to go off into the big, crazy world outside when they grow up, here in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus is doing the same thing with his disciples. And just as your own children can be less than geniuses at grasping the reality of life away from mom and dad, how is that for putting it subtly? Jesus' disciples were just as clueless. So he starts off his conversation by saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, don't just talk about love, show it, do it. Do it by doing the things that I've told you to do for these 3 long years I've been together. Love God. Love your neighbor, love yourself. Be there for people in need. Bring light to darkness. Bring water to thirst. Bring peace to troubled circumstances. His disciples know that change is coming. They can sense that something really bad is just around the corner. And they need to be reassured, just like children do during a family crisis, because that's what's going on here. It's a family crisis. Jesus says to them, as they begin to feel that tension, that he will not leave them orphaned, which is such a typical fear in children when mom and dad are seriously ill, going away for a long time. I am coming back to you, he says. Maybe not in the way you think. Jesus tells his disciples that his return will be in the form of the Holy Spirit, or as he calls it, the Advocate. There's a good reason this is a classic passage that's read at funerals, because it gives voice to some of our deepest fears and feelings and longings, those feelings of abandonment that arise when someone we love dies and leaves us behind, right? For those of you who have lost someone close, isn't it that feeling more than anything of longing and fear and regret that the death of someone you love leaves you struggling with? These words speak to our voiced and unvoiced fears of how we're going to be able to carry on after someone we love dies. And most of all, And Jesus' words of reassurance give us comfort and strength and courage as we go about the business of grieving. These words from Jesus are words meant to be heard by anyone who is looking with fear to the future and wondering how they're going to make it alone. Now, in the Greek of Jesus' time, the word orphanos, which is used here, has several meanings. It could mean exactly what you think when you hear the word orphan, that is, without parents. It could also carry a broader feeling of being left alone or being abandoned or being left without any comfort. It's also used in a teacher-student relationship, and it's used to describe a student who has been abandoned by their teacher or their mentor. Just like children are dependent on their parents to make their way in this world, students are dependent on their teachers or mentors to teach them, to guide them, to prepare them for life, especially in Jesus' time, to mentor them until they become mature and productive adults. To be abandoned by your beloved teacher or mentor when you didn't think you were ready for the big world out there yet would leave you feeling deserted, forsaken, discarded, thrown away. I think that Jesus is using that word orphanos here in all of those senses, not just that parent-child relationship or teacher-student relationship, but also just that feeling of abandonment. Jesus was like a spiritual father, a beloved teacher and mentor to the disciples, and they were completely reliant on him. They couldn't make it on their own in the world without him. So when here during the Last Supper, the news finally sinks in that he is really going away, that he's going to leave, that his death is just a few short hours away, then that fear and sense of loss begins to overwhelm them. You know, as you read the Gospels, you kind of get the impression that the disciples were more like a bunch of immature, less educated, less knowledgeable people who are desperately dependent on their beloved Jesus. And they're dependent on him for everything. One terrible night, this terrible night before his death, that really comes down on them. And they're feeling deserted by the only one they trust and look to for guidance and reassurance. And that's why he says, "I will not leave you like orphans." Maybe Jesus' words are better expressed this way. "I will not leave you behind like orphans who have been deserted by their parents, and I will not desert you like an unfaithful teacher who walks out on his students and leaves them with no supervision or help in their hour of greatest need." Jesus knew the disciples couldn't make it on their own in the world, and that's why he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the advocate, or the paraclete, whatever word you want to use, helper. "I will not leave you orphaned." At some point, we all want to or need to hear those words because they speak directly to some of our greatest fears and challenges. Abandonment and isolation, loneliness, vulnerability. They remind us that we humans are not meant to go through life alone. We can't stand alone. We need others. We need helpers. We need guidance. In all of the seasons of our lives, there will come moments when the unwelcome changes, those bitter losses, those tragedies we suffer can leave you feeling like an orphan. Whether spoken or unspoken, those questions begin. What will I do now? Where will I go? What happens next? Who will love me, nurture me, guide me? Who stands by my side? What will become of me? Those are orphan questions. These are the questions that were running through the heads and hearts of the disciples here in the gospel. Maybe one of our deepest fears is that we will be orphaned, even as adults, right? When we're no longer dependent and reliant on our parents to survive, we still fear being orphaned. People often tell me when their last parent has died, they specifically say to me, "You know, Mike, I feel like an orphan." Even if they're in their 60s or 70s, that's how deep that fear of being orphaned goes. That fear points to the deeper reality that by ourselves, we aren't and can't ever be enough. God never created us to be self-sufficient. We were never intended to stand alone as individuals. We were created to belong to and be supported by each other, to live in a community. I will not abandon you. That's the promise Jesus makes to us. Even as he and the Father will always be together, he and we will be too. Regardless of the circumstances of our lives, whether storms or separations, even death itself, we have never been and will never be abandoned by God. How strange that must have sounded to the disciples. In just a few short minutes, Jesus tells them that he's leaving, and then he tells them that he's going to remain with them forever. Leaving and remaining sure sound like opposites to me, and his words are confusing. Leaving and remaining, here with us, no longer here with us. Jesus expects us to live with that contradiction. And that contradiction challenges us with the question of whether Jesus is for us nothing more than a past memory, or is he present and real for us here and now? Leaving and remaining is a contradiction that challenges us to decide if the gospel story is no more than some beautiful and sentimental story designed to make us feel good, or is it a living experience that challenges us, that guides us, that gives meaning to our life? It's a challenge to decide if we see Jesus as nothing more than a past tense teacher who had good things to say, or a present reality by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in some amazing way still with us, fulfilling his promise to not leave us as orphans in this sometimes cold and cruel world. Jesus said that sad night before he died is that the answer to those questions is determined by the love we show by keeping his commandments. The commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our enemies, to love our Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Whose feet do we wash, and whose feet do we ignore? What are the boundaries of our love? We keep his commandments? Does our love grow and expand, transforming us and our world? Because when we let that happen, then Jesus is still present with us. And we know that we have not been left abandoned or orphaned. Those times when we're not loving so much, when we're self-absorbed and isolated, we often find ourselves in what is nothing more than an orphanage. I will not leave you orphaned. Over and over, day after day, regardless of what's happening in our lives, that is Jesus' promise to us. We have not been abandoned. So don't let yourself be abandoned. Love with all that you are and all that you have, even as the Father and Jesus love us with all that they are and all that they have. And Jesus will be a present reality for us, in us and through us and for us. I will not leave you abandoned. Amen.